Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, I have a very, very special guest with me. It's Michelle Clay. And Michelle is a certified transition life coach who helps women experiencing major life changes overcome the fear of judgment. As the founder of Elevate Life Coaching, a seminar and coaching company, Michelle teaches her clients the tools and inspiration they need to live confidently and with purpose by helping them redirect their fears and use their energy to build themselves up. Now, Michelle is also the author of a book which looks amazing. It's called Perfectly Normal, An Immigrant Story of Making It in America. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Keisha.
It's great to have you here. And so, Michelle, I just wanted to start right at the beginning with your story of being an immigrant and that life-changing accident that has basically repurposed your life and put you on this trajectory. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. So my journey began when I was 11 years old, and I was coming off from school one day, and out of nowhere, I realized afterwards that there was this car coming towards me so fast that there was no way for me to avoid it. I got caught in the middle of this car accident. But the next thing I woke up in the hospital surrounded by physicians, doctors, and my parents were talking to the physician. And as I looked down from my waist down all the way to my ankle, I was wrapped with these plaster, and I pretty much was trapped. I felt trapped in that moment, and I felt trapped for pretty much the rest of my years afterwards. And as a result of that accident, I no longer are able to walk without assistance. So I've been always walking with two crutches. I'm only 4 feet, 4 inches tall. I don't believe I ever grown since after the accident. And my body looks super, extremely weird and different. Every time I look into the mirror, I don't see a normal person. I see someone who is short, whose legs is crooked, who doesn't wear anything that would fit me. Basically, all the pants that I bought from the store, I would have to bring it to someone to tailor it down, trim it. And there's not a single pair of shoes I wear that has not been altered in some way. So that I spent like 29 of that year just as being such a person.
That's an unbelievable story, Michelle. Of course, that is life altering for sure. And, you know, in Holistic Wealth, I talk about life altering setbacks. And this is definitely one of them. And that must have been super hard. And I can't imagine how hard and how you got through that.
It was really challenging. I think as a kid, you know, I couldn't comprehend the whole outcome or consequences after the car accident. For a while, I was actually really enjoying the fact that I didn't have to go to the school anymore. I don't have to put on my shoes. I don't have to do a lot of things, you know, in the house to help my mom. There's a lot of happy moment where as a kid, but then growing into my teenage years and my adulthood, I realized it was something very debilitating and something that was not, it was almost to the point that it's very shameful to look among the crowd and being the way I was.
I can imagine how it must have felt like dealing with those feelings of shame and guilt, and, you know, your self-esteem suffered and your self-worth. And I can just imagine that you now coach women now, Michelle, on imposter syndrome and really elevating your mindset. Can you tell us a bit about how that accident enabled you to do this kind of coaching and how you basically said to yourself, yes, this is the thing that I want to do. This is how I want to help others based on my story.
So I think, you know, going through the journey, I could never pinpoint that was the imposter I was associating with. I kept thinking, because I went through education, I had a doctor's degree, I'm a doctor of pharmacy. So there's a lot of little milestones that I have achieved and accomplished that I can really sit down and celebrate, raise my glass and then say, hey, you know, I did it. And I think it happens to a lot of us. You know, we have a lot of achieving a lot of milestones, but we really don't sit down and appreciate the fact that we accomplished it. And this was something worth celebrating. So I went through, because of my self-identity, looking at the mirror and the shaming that I was doing with my body image, I was never able to celebrate all my milestones, all my achievements. And later when I learned the term imposter syndrome, it made me realize, oh my gosh, that is exactly what I was experiencing. I had this imposter that kept thinking that I am not good enough. I am not worthy enough. I need to do more in order for people to see me as a normal person, to see me and accept me in this society that we live in, which is heavily based upon the beauty that is coming from the outside rather than looking into and understanding what this person has to offer. So that was a big aha moment for me to realize that, you know, for the 29 years of my life, I was living as an imposter. I was always living in someone else's shoes. I never really stepped into my truth, whether it's my weakness that I need to improve upon, or it's my strength. I can actually raise my glass and say, hey, great job. I'll give myself a pat on the shoulder. Great job. You did it. I didn't feel that it was something that's real, something that was true to me. And now looking back, and this is how I coach my clients, is that looking back, there's so many memorable moments that you had accomplished, whether it's small, whether it's big, something that got you here this far. Why not actually stand up for what you stand up for and be proud of who you are? You got here for a reason. And it's not that imposter that got you here. It's you, the true authentic self that pull you through in every single moment of challenges and obstacles, all these moments of self-doubt. You are the one who's behind that imposter that you're experiencing.
Yes, and that's absolutely phenomenal, because you're right. So many women suffer from it. And you highlighted an important part of that, which is the beauty industry and the standard of beauty that we're held up against, all women. And it's an impossible standard because a lot of it is fake. And so we look at ourselves, we look at our bodies, we look at, you know, where we've reached in life, and we think, wow, this isn't good enough, or I should be like somebody else. And then we start to compare ourselves. So I think that is amazing work that you're doing, Michelle. And can you tell us a bit about, in terms of the business aspect, how you started, how you decided to become an entrepreneur, and what that process was like for you in terms of becoming a life coach?
So I started the business as a result of my own aha moment when I came back from my transformational trip in going to Machu Picchu. When I decided to take my two crutches and a small luggage, flew myself over to hike the Inca Trail, which is 26 miles to Machu Picchu, I was on the process of finding myself, right? Trying to identify, who am I really in this world and what is my purpose? So I was in the process of discovering that purpose. And when I finally reached the top of Machu Picchu, suddenly I saw all these people stood up and they were cheering for me for completing the journey, regardless how hard it was. And in that moment, I realized that the biggest purpose that I can offer and the way that I can serve others is through inspiration. But inspiration is very vague. And how do you serve someone? I can't just put it on a plate and then say, here you go. Here's the inspiration. Take it. And it doesn't work that way. So when I came home, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and then he had mentioned that he has a nephew who suffered from schizophrenia, and now he's looking for a life coach. And the term kind of just clicked in my head, and I said, oh, life coach, and I wonder what that is. And so I came home, I sat down, did some research, and then as I was reading the description of what life coach is about, it's about partnership, it's about holding others accountable for what they said they're going to do. It's all that, like walking hand to hand with you on a journey that person had gone through. And that was exactly that defined how I am going to serve with my inspiration. So my inspiration for that I am offering is not just something that, here you go, here's a talk, here's a podcast, listen to it. Great, you walk away with inspiration. No, the inspiration is that you can actually stand up and start taking action to implement all these steps that I have learned, that I have gone through. And here you are, you can actually do it step by step, following it, change it up, actually amplify it and up-level it so that you make it your own, because I truly believe we all have a different journey and, you know, we're all on a different process. So what I have gone through, I can share that with you in a coaching session, but I would expect you to make it even better for yourself, because you have that ability of magnetizing whatever that comes in your way and make it even better. So I started my company as a came from an idea with an inspiration, and I took a leap of faith and I jumped into it. And this is something that I also talk about a lot of time in my coaching session, is we all have that fear. And I think we see this fear really, it's under a microscope, really during the pandemic, because a lot of us got really thrown off our track with our goals, because we all thought that 2020 was going to lead somewhere. It was going to be something very different. But here we are, we all got, you know, kind of step back from that whole pandemic issue. And the fear behind that pandemic really amplified a lot of things and uncovered a lot of blind spots for a lot of people who haven't realized that, you know, the whole reason why you haven't launched your course, you haven't launched your business, you haven't done something is because of that fear that you've been holding on to. And this is something I teach all my clients. What do you do with that fear of uncertainty? What do you do with that fear of unknown? How do you handle it?
And for you, with your disability, with the setbacks that you had in launching a business, which is so hard and is so much work, can you walk us through what that was like for you? And is it that you put in extra supports in place by getting additional help, streamlining your business processes, or getting previous clients, a previous network that you had? Can you just walk us through how was it for you with the limitations that you have physically building a business?
Yeah. So the first thing I did when I decided to start launching my business is I hired a coach. That was the first thing to do, because I spent 20 years in clinical healthcare world. I had no experience of how to start a business. So I had no idea of what to do. So my first step was hiring a coach. I hired a mentor coach who had experience in starting up a business for other coaches. So we sat down and he told me how to do the website, how to do the charging system, how to take the payment, and what are some of the templates that I can use when I get onto the phone with the prospect? Mm-hmm. What do I say? What do I talk about? So a lot of it is just learning, like taking baby step of how to do from someone else who have already done it. And this year, this is my third year, and I'm actually in the process of rebranding my whole website and whole package, the whole entire thing. This year, I'm actually working with another coach. So coach, if anyone who's listening and you're doubting, you know, work with a coach, they're so valuable. That was the first step.
Absolutely. And I know so many women are listening in, because, you know, it's COVID and people are trying to think about starting a business. And of course, with a passion economy, which I've spoken about a lot, life coaching is the biggest vertical in the passion economy. I think life coaching now, I don't know how much it's worth. I think it's, you know, it's over 300 million, but it's worth a lot because it's so easy to transition into it. But, you know, can you walk us through in terms of your startup costs? Was that a lot for you? Or did you just, as you said, you just started slow and just took it in stride and, you know, got your website, got a basic website up and started out? Can you walk us through what that's like? Because I know a lot of women are listening and they're thinking, how do I even begin to start with not much funds, you know?
So I start up at a very low budget way of doing things. So woman who's listening and you're thinking about starting your business, I want to let you know that you can definitely start where you are. And this is a key concept I want everyone to understand, is that you don't have to have like $10,000 or $100,000 in your bank in order to start something. You can start with what you have. And this is a really important key. And it will also alleviate a lot of fear behind, you know, why haven't I start? You can start by a low budget, whatever that you have, a couple of things that you can look at. So for me, you know, initially it was website. Luckily, I had some website basic skills that I know which website to go to and what are some of the easier website that you can just do a plug-in. So I had that small knowledge, but I spent $250 to hire someone to put up a website. And it was a very simple website. It has my name, contact, my email address. What is it that I am offering? So when people go to my website, they have a way of finding me, right? So that was only $250. Maybe I don't eat out for like 3 or 4 weeks, then I would have that amount of money. So that was the first thing I did. Start with a website or how people can find you. Create a Facebook page. That was another thing I did, you know, so that people can start finding me and knowing, get to know me on what I do. How do they contact me if they want my service? Facebook has no cost. You can do a free Facebook web page, you know, a page, Facebook page. People can find you there. So that was really low cost. The only thing that really cost me a lot was the coach I hired. And so one of the idea, and this is a fear for a lot of people who looking into starting out a business and don't know how, you have to understand that we're not perfect. And we don't have to be perfect. And the reason behind that is we can't do everything all at once. There's no way that we can know how to build a website, how to do the marketing, how to do the organization, how to do the bookkeeping. There's no way that one person can do it all. Especially if you're thinking about scaling up later, then you really have to think about outsourcing your task. Right. But initially, what you can do is if you don't have the budget to hire someone to work on your social media, use some of the apps that's already available. Schedule your posts like later.com is something that I use very often. You can schedule your social media posts. So perhaps you carve out one day out of your 7 days week agenda. Then one day, create all these posts, schedule them ahead of time so that you have all these time to do other things. In a sense that you're relying on the technology to help you to streamline without spending a lot of money to hiring a virtual assistant, to hire someone who's in the a Google app world to help you do the Google ad, to help you do the Facebook ad. Initially, I didn't have all that. I start from the scratch, very cheap, low budget. Just get yourself out there and start talking to people. As you start talking to people, and this is the key, another key, you want it to get out there, right? And you want to start talking to people so that people know you're about your service. They know where to find you. And that was the key piece to start up a business. Stop thinking, get up, and actually do it.
Yeah, and that's amazing because I wanted to ask you about that last point that you mentioned about talking about it, getting yourself out there, because I was just about to ask you about marketing, because that's the other piece I was thinking about as you were talking about the setup costs and the startup costs. And the other big piece is getting people to know about your services and getting the word out so you can actually start making revenue. And I wanted to ask about that piece for you, what that was like, because that's the other big piece that many women worry about. How am I going to get my first client? How am I going to let people know? When is the money going to start rolling in? And so from a life coaching perspective for that kind of business, can you tell us what tactics or strategies you did or put in place to ensure you had your first and then ongoing clients even after the first client?
So the first thing that you wanted to do is you want to look at your own network. You want to look at your own circle, right? So the first email ever I send out was the email that I sent out to all my friends and my family members. I basically pull all the email from my contact that anyone who is on my email list that I have email, I send them a blast email and I let them know, hey, you know, this is something exciting that I'm starting. I just got certified as a life coach and this is what I'm offering. If you know someone or someone that you know can use this service, make sure you send them to me or just simply reply this email. So my first email marketing period is going out to my friends and family. And with that, you'll be surprised because, and this is something I taught one of my clients actually during the pandemic. She lost her job when she was working in a restaurant and she wanted to start her own business and she didn't know how to start and where to start and who to talk to. And exactly what you were describing, you know, earlier about how exactly who do I market to? So go to, again, you start with what you have, and what you have is your friend circle, your family circle. And we all have like friends that maybe we don't see very often, but they're in your email, they're sitting in your email list, and you never know what they are going through right now. They need to talk to you. They are waiting for you to send them that email to let them know that this is a service that you're providing. They're looking for you. So how do you get to them? You send out an email and let them know this is the new service that you're offering. And from there, you can build on your email list. You can pick one social media and start posting. Every day, you should be intentional about what you're posting on your social media. you should be speaking to about yourself, about your service, about your why, and also what is it that you are offering and how can you help? How can you provide a service to others? And this is something I keep, you know, posting on a daily basis. So if people go to my Instagram account, people will see posts, quotes. There's going to be services that I offer. There's free offer. There's a lot of different things that people can learn and learn about what is it that I do, who I am. Ultimately, it's about building that relationship so that people can trust you, regardless their friends, family, or just stranger who's happened to stumble upon your social media post. So be intentional.
Get all good tips and strategies, Michelle. These are really good. And so I want to go back to the point that we started at in terms of imposter syndrome, because I know that's a huge deal now. You hear a lot of experts talking about it. I think it's been amplified with social media. So many life coaches are talking about imposter syndrome and conquering imposter syndrome on social media. And so if people are listening in who are struggling with that issue right now, what tips and strategies? Could you share anything that could help them in terms of dealing with imposter syndrome?
Yeah, so I really believe one of the consequences of having this imposter syndrome is don't take any action, or you take action that doesn't really resonate with what your heart is telling you. And I think one of the biggest thing is, how do you silence that imposter? How do you silence that voice that keeps telling you that you are not good enough? Oh, don't do this. That's not perfect. And I think we all, as women, especially women, we strive to be perfect. We strive to be a perfection in everything that we do. Oh, that's not perfect. I don't want to start. I want to encourage you to listen, really tune into your heart. There's a reason why you are here. So tune into your heart and not listening to the mind that's been doing all these thinking. You're great in doing strategy. You're great doing coming up with ideas. You're great doing all these, putting out these work, being productive. But what does your heart say about you? Like, what makes you special? What makes you different? What makes you unique? Whatever your heart is saying to you right now, that is your strength. And use that. And use that by taking action. You will never see any result, whether it's good or bad, until you start taking action.
No, amazing advice. And it's so funny you say that about being intentional, because in my book, Holistic Wealth, I talk about intentional life design too, and being intentional with our actions. And I talk about the holistic wealth mindset, which also talks about how we make decisions on a daily basis, because we make over 36,000 decisions each and every day. And sometimes we do them very mindlessly, you know, and very non-strategically, which doesn't help. And so, Michelle, on your Instagram, you have some amazing tips. You also talk about mindfulness and meditation. Could you share a bit about how that helps as well?
So that first step, by silencing our imposter, that voice that we keep constantly hearing, you know, that's stopping us from actually doing what we need to do. One of the most effective way is actually doing meditation, or becoming mindful in what you do. So meditation, a lot of people think of it as, oh, I got to sit down for an hour or two and just sit there and quietly. No, I want you to start thinking about meditation is something that you can do at this very moment. As you're listening to this podcast, as you're listening to the voice of me speaking, you're actually practicing mindfulness. What mindfulness means is that you actually channel all your attention to something very specific in that present moment. And when you do that, you notice that everything else kind of just fade away, right? So whatever that is that can help you to channeling that concentration, to keep you stay focused, maybe it's being more crafty. You know, I know a lot of women who likes to be doing crafting work or painting or something that's creative, or going out on a bike, riding the bike. It requires a lot of concentration in the present moment. That is meditation. And when you can channel all your concentration in just focusing on one activity, that is mindfulness. And you'll notice the imposter, the voice that you hear constantly, is going to slowly fade away to the background. I'm not saying that it's going to completely dissolve. I'm saying that it's going to fade into the background, and you have that intuitive sense of making that conscious choice in your everyday living. What is real? What is not? And is this based on fear or is it based on my most authentic true self? So you'll have that ability to differentiate the two. So mindfulness is something that really worked for me, and I incorporate that into my coaching practice as well.
And it's so important to practice mindfulness, especially in these times that we're in, especially when times are very stressful and there's lots of anxiety about, you know, worrying about the future and worrying about the past and the regrets and the things we should have done if we knew COVID-19 was coming, you know? So that's how I think the mindfulness is such a critical part too of holistic wealth, which, you know, is something that I've spoken about a lot and written about a lot as well. And so, Michelle, can you tell us about a little bit about the book? Before we go, I just wanted to ask you about your memoir and your book and to tell us a bit about that.
So the book is a memoir. It's a story of my life. When I first grew up, I grew up in Taiwan. So the story began of my life in Taiwan. I came from a military family. So we were living in this village where a lot of veterans were living in, and it was a very small, tiny house. I was describing in my book, it's about the size of a garage, a regular American-sized garage. And the four of us were just living in that space. And the story takes us through my teenage year as someone after the car accident into my adulthood, going into my relationship, whereas I was experiencing a lot of rejection because of my physical look, or that was what perceived as my understanding of why I got rejected. And there's also stories about how I was really I hit the rock bottom in my life, and where I really didn't feel really inspired to be alive anymore. And how I came out of that journey, how I came out of realizing that, you know, this is not the way I want to live for the rest of my life. And so it's a summary of pretty much my life prior to becoming a coach.
And so would you say that with that time that you hit rock bottom, I mean, it sounded like it was a really hard time, and it sounded like you questioned living. It probably sounded like, you know, you suffered from depression and that you were actually contemplating life and your purpose and whether you wanted to live anymore. Was that kind of where you were at?
Yes. Yes. I remember when I was writing the book, I was still crying. And I was telling my coach as I was writing the book, I said, you know, there's a lot of days that I can't even put down any words, because the moment I open up the laptop, I start crying. I don't have any words to put down. And so a lot of it has to do with that I was tired of living. And I wish I had someone to talk to, but I didn't. And this is something that I was sharing the other day with a friend of mine. I said, you know, now that I am a coach, I do appreciate working with a coach. But when I look back, there was a lot of moments where I had to figure it out. I had to figure my life out. And that took me 29 years. Do I want to have someone else figuring it out for their 29 years? How many 29 years do we have to figure things out?
So important to have that person, as you mentioned, especially when you're going through something like that, Michelle. And did it get so bad that you had suicidal thoughts or contemplated suicide, or was it not as bad as that?
It was suicidal attempt, suicidal ideation. And I remember I was standing in the shower, and I had the razor in my hand. I was thinking about it. I thought really hard about it. And then what really pulled me out of it, and I'll leave this, I don't want to do a spoiler alert, but what pulled me out of it was also an idea, a voice that came to my head.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I have to ask you this now, if there's anybody listening in who's there, who's at that point where they're contemplating suicide or having suicide ideation, Michelle, can you give some words of advice right now for anybody who is either in that position or knows somebody else in that position as to what they can do?
The number one thing is I want you to reach out. I want you to reach out and get help. Not a coach, maybe even a therapist. If it's something that you notice that it's really to the point where you are taking action in suicidal attempt, please call a therapist or call a psychologist who can help. This is not something that a coach or a mentor can help. This is something that is serious. And so call for help.
Yeah, most definitely. And Michelle as well, how can somebody know if they're at that point where they definitely need to seek help, you know, immediately? I mean, what kind of thoughts or what kind of feelings or that notion that, okay, I'm at that point now. I'm at breaking point where I need to get emergency help. Can you tell us, based on your experience, based on, you know, experience you've seen with others, at what point people can really know that they really need to seek the help right now?
Yeah. So as a clinical pharmacist, I can share that knowledge with you based on that. So there's actually 12 diagnostic criteria that someone has to meet in order to be classified as someone suicidal. So there's specific criteria that includes signs and symptoms of depression. And depression, we're not just talking about, oh, today I feel good, tomorrow I feel bad. No, you are consistently noticing yourself is having those anxiety moments, depression moments, and you just feel really exhausted and tired. You probably don't even leave in your bed for like the entire day, and nothing can get you out of that thinking, that negativity for consistently at least 1 to 2 weeks. So if you're consistently experiencing that, that is a great sign that you need to seek expert help. And, you know, most of us, we probably go through some experience, some extent of, oh, today is not a good day, I feel depressed. If you notice that just short term and that you can pull yourself out of it the following day by doing something inspiring, by doing something happy or watching a funny movie that pulls you out, chances are you're probably not to the point where you need to see a therapist immediately. So if you're experiencing something that's been going on for like weeks and months and it's not improving, no matter what you do, that is the type of person I want you to go out there and start looking for help.
Yes. And this is so important, especially during COVID-19, Michelle, where people are dealing with losses and the losses are piling up. I mean, we have secondary losses in terms of losing a job or losing a spouse, losing a parent, losing a child. And so this topic of mental health is such an important one during this global pandemic. And it's why I'm so happy to have you on the program. It's why I'm so happy to have this podcast around holistic wealth, because, you know, we spoke about the business side, about flourishing as an entrepreneur and setting up systems in place so you can have a successful business. But there's the other side of it too, that makes us all holistically wealthy. And that's the mental and the emotional health, and how critical that is for us. So Michelle, as part of my mission, I've been asking women and I've been asking several guests of the show to take this free quiz that I developed based on this personal financial identity framework. And I know you did the quiz. I want you to share your results and any thoughts you might have with the audience, because it's something I want to get, especially women, and it's Women's History Month, and, you know, I'm big on female economic empowerment. And so can you tell us what your results were and what your thoughts are on the quiz?
So I'm definitely an anxious spender and investor.
Wow. Okay.
I think it has a lot to do with my influence in the back in my culture, my family.
Yes.
Because my family, my mom and my dad, they openly fight about not having enough money. So not having enough money has always been grind in my head, that money is about like how much are you spending. You need to be conscious. And every time I spend, I notice that about myself too, is I get really anxious.
That's amazing. Because it's funny, I was interviewing another guest and she took the quiz and she said she was an anxious spender. And she said the reason why she's an anxious spender stems from her childhood, where her dad used to give her negative messages about women's ability to achieve, you know, in life, achieve success, and also to handle money. So thank you so much for, you know, sharing those results with us and your background and your childhood and how you see it playing out as a result of, you know, as you said, your parents and how they used to fight about money. And in terms of being an entrepreneur, Michelle, and being an anxious spender and investor, how has that affected you or, you know, your money philosophy in business? And how do you see it play out in your business decisions?
In every single way, all right? Because you're an anxious spender and investor. So a lot of times before you even invest in a coach,
yes,
right? Say for a coach or a course, you get that anxious and anxiety because you're afraid that this money is not going to come
right
back. And that stops you from growing, from actually up-leveling to the next scale. And so this is something that I learned throughout my whole process as entrepreneur, that you know, money is in the flow. You need to spend money. Money needs to go out in order for it to come in. So if you're afraid of spending or being anxious about losing that amount of money that you invest, then there's you're actually stopping the flow of money coming in.
Absolutely. And so this is why I ask so many guests to take the quiz and share with their audience. Because with each person that takes the quiz and with each person that comes on and shares their personal story around money, it helps to learn and it helps us to learn from each other. And especially with our personal lives and with our businesses, it also helps us to realize the steps that we're taking that might actually be self-sabotage. Whereas we might be thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to be frugal and I'm going to save money. We might be stopping the flow of money coming into our business, like you just said. So that's amazing. Is there anything else that jumped out at you from taking the quiz?
I think there's a lot of mindset questions that's hiding behind the questions. So it really gets you to become aware of how you're thinking. Money mindset has been one of my goals to work on this year, to, you know, really understanding what is my relationship to the money. Mm-hmm, so it actually tap into a lot of self-awareness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Michelle, thank you so much for that. That was amazing. And I'm sure the audience listening and those who are anxious spenders are probably nodding their heads right now and saying, yeah, that's exactly it. And that's why that's happening. So thank you so much for that. Can you tell our listeners where to find you in terms of social media and your website?
Yeah. So people can find me on my website at elevatelifecoaching.org. And they can also find me on Instagram at Elevate Life Coach, or they can follow me on Facebook at Life Coaching by Elevate.
Okay, perfect. And thank you so much for being on the show again today, Michelle. This was wonderful. It was great talking to you, hearing about your story and hearing the tips that you have for our listeners in terms of, you know, not only setting up a business, putting in systems in place, but also dealing with mental health, which is so important. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, keishablair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning best-selling Holistic Wealth, 32 Life Lessons to Help You Find Purpose, Prosperity, and Happiness.